Paulie, before we hook up with the great Mark Cannizzaro of the New York Post,
right?
I'd fallen off my little Peloton routine lately because I've been coaching too much. So I finally had a chance to get on the bike.
Not a lot of Jen Sherman shout-outs.
I did a Jen ride, and I was viscerally pissed off because it was a bad. I needed a 30 minute ride, and it was a pop music ride, which meant she was doing like, it was like J Lo and Britney. Well, they sucked. It was
that's
terrible.
Not what I'm looking for. Yeah, yeah.
And I was angry.
That's going to make me angry too. Right? Maybe that's the idea though. You get angry at the music, you pedal
it
harder.
Didn't work.
I don't know.
The whole part of this story though is to bring you to a headspace. Is that I had to come back yesterday. There's this macho dude named Dennis Morton who does it.
Yeah.
He's way too handsome, way too fit. Like he's probably looking to shag.
How we doing, Dennis Morton? Let's ride. Yeah.
He's pretty much looking to shag every lady who's doing the Peloton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I hit his classic rock ride, which meant just basically his rock songs. You know what I got in the middle of the ride, dude? A little darkness on the edge of town.
Oh, well, come on. Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
No, that's a standard. Yeah,
he said, as we were sweating, he said, if you haven't seen the documentary on the making of this album, he said, do yourself a favor, is what he said.
Oh, come on. Sure.
Is it? I'm unaware of the documentary. What's the deal?
I think you've seen it. I think you've seen it. You don't realize it was on HBO years ago when they reissued the album. They had like a special. I'm pretty sure you and I talked about it on the air. I think you've seen it.
I don't think so. Can you give me a feature on it or anything?
You got Bruce at the piano going, I wrote Promised Land like this. And then he just like starts ripping off like verses and stuff. We got Mark. He can speak to this too. He's probably seen it as well. Yeah.
Right. He's not. Well, darkness on the edge of town doesn't describe Augusta. It's more like glittering morning sunlight on the edge of town. Is what
it's more like jungle land, maybe, or back streets.
On the UMA guest line, a tradition unlike any other is not Jim Nance at the Masters. It's Marky Mark at the Masters. Mark Cannizzaro of the New York Post, our blood brother, our pal, our friend of the program. Good morning, Marky Mark.
Marky.
Murphy, Murph, Paulie, Mac, good morning, San Francisco, from Augusta, Georgia, where it is sunny and beautiful, and we are ready to go here.
2 years since you've trod those grounds there, buddy. 2 years.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Are you getting all the tingles, all the feels, all the goosies?
You know what I'll get the singles? When I'm over on Six Hill thinking about sitting there with Murphy Murph and watching Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer converge. That was one of the great moments of my sporting life.
It truly was. People don't know. So, everything, Amen Corner is so famous. 12th hole with Rays Creek and the whole deal. And obviously 18, coming up 18 to the Roars. But there is a par 3 sixth hole where you're allowed to camp underneath the tee box. And it's right near the 16th green off to your right, so you get a little double dip of 16 green and tee shots off of 6. We call it Six Hill. We like to park it there and capture a little mood, Marky Mark. And what was it, 02, 03?
It was his last Masters, and I can't remember what year it was. I should know that, but it was, you would know because it was probably one of your last Masters.
Yeah, probably 03 or 04. I know. And then, so Arnold's playing 6. Jack Nicklaus is on 16, right? Is that how it went?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Arnie's coming off
exactly
6 to huge roars. He looks over to his right. There's Jack on 16 green getting huge roars. They eye each other.
And yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Your memory from there.
They caught each other's eye. Arnie had stuffed one to about 4 feet on 6. And this was like just a quiet, Thursday, morning or whatever time it was. And they caught each other's eye as Arnie's coming walking down the hill. And Jack gives Arnie the signature Arnie thumbs up that Arnie would always give everybody. I got goosebumps. We both did. We just sat there looked at each other like, did this just happen? Because we knew this was Arnie's last Masters too. So it was like,
it was the last day. So we knew it was his last day. It was his last day walking the grounds. Yeah. And the crowd was going crazy, roars and roars and roars. So one of those magical moments you only get at Augusta National. All right, buddy. Let's slap a headline on this thing, man. No Tiger, DJ defending, Bryson still just coming through the wall like the Kool-Aid commercial, that Kool-Aid, who was that? What'd you call that?
The pitcher.
Jug?
He's like the giant pitcher.
Pitcher, thank you, Paulie. Right. Coming
through
the
wall.
He's
like a pitcher holding a pitcher, I think. It's kind of trippy.
he's coming through the wall like the Kool-Aid pitcher, right?
Yeah.
What's the headline, Marky Mark?
My headline is I think that Rory McIlroy this week, who nobody thinks is going to do anything because he's changed his coach, he's not playing well, his putting's been suspect, and this is his seventh try at trying to win a Masters and complete the career Grand Slam. I just had this weird feeling that he's going to emerge on Sunday. I don't know why. I mean, there's no reason that should happen because, again, he's just gone to Pete Cowan, his new coach, stepped away from his coach he's had since he was a kid, Michael Bannon, out in Ireland. In Northern Ireland. And so I don't know. I just had this strange feeling. I don't see DJ repeating. I think Spieth is going to be in the mix. He's so hot, obviously. But I don't know. That my headline, I think, is going to be a Grand Slam completed by Sunday night.
Wow. You know, it's a little hot tip for you here. So 2 days ago, I got to do my second captain's hit with my boys in Dublin, Ireland, the podcast, and they brought on a special guest from just down the street, one Lawrence Donegan, the great Scottish golf writer turned bassist turned golf dad, and he came on the show with me, Marky Mark, a podcasting force of your boys Murph and Donegan together in Ireland.
Sure.
He took Rory McIlroy to win the Masters.
Interesting. Now, I was aware of Lars jumping on the second captains, and he did tell me about that. But he did not tell me he was picking Rory. That's interesting. Okay.
He said his argument is that there's a little spice to Rory when there's something sort of to prove, or when he's sort of been left by the side of the road, kind of.
I agree with that, and I actually asked Rory about that yesterday, you know, just about the fact that, you know, when he first came here, you know, after his amazing year in 14, you know, 15 was his first try at completing the slam, and there was so much hype around it, you know, I mean, because obviously, you know, there's only five guys in golf that have ever completed the career Grand Slam, winning all four majors, and you know, that brought with it a lot of pressure, and I think that pressure was there pretty intensely, certainly in 15, but even the next couple of years after that. But now we're 6 years on, and he hasn't been able to get the green jacket, you know. And you know, again, he's, you know, he changed his coach, his form hasn't been, you know, great. So the expectations are a little bit down, and I think that maybe, you know, frees him up a little bit. I kind of threw that out there, and Rory said, "I do agree with that." When I compare, you know, coming out in 15. To now, there's just a lot much less chatter and pressure and talk about it. So maybe that does help a little bit.
Yeah, and a little bit on this swing coach that he's gone to. Pete Cowan is his name. What's the strategy here? What's he looking for?
You know, I technically speaking, I don't know. What's interesting is one of my colleagues from England had actually asked Rory about, because Cowan is kind of this golf whisperer, you know, from over there, from the UK, and he's you know, he works for some of the best players out there. I mean, he's not as known here to us, you know, like the Harmon family, so to speak, but he is elite. And Ewan Murray asked Rory yesterday about, you know, isn't going to Pete, you know, are you getting too technical? Are you worried about being too technical and working and thinking too much about your swing with this, you know, with having Pete's, you know, new set of eyes on your swing with Pete? And Rory actually said, no, it's the opposite of that. We're going back to just me using my feel and my imagination and my athleticism. So I think, you know, Cowan had a pretty good line, you know, something along the lines of, you know, let's not focus about how great you were when you were in your heyday, you know, when you were, you know, winning your majors and whatnot. Let's focus about how great you're going to be. And so that's a little bit of the theme there. But it's definitely, I think we're always trying to get away from getting too technical and try to use his imagination, his athleticism, because obviously he's as good as there is in the game.
He's just so, you know, so in his own head. It's crazy. I hope you and Lawrence are right. It would be amazing. It'd be great. But I'd love to see him just clear his headspace out and do it. What about Bryson? You know, everywhere he goes. I saw footage the other day of him taking hacks on the range, and Vijay Singh was just standing there staring at him. And Bryson, if anything, he's swinging harder than he was like 2 weeks ago. You know, it's like it's insane.
It literally looks like he's going to detach his body from his knees, and he's corkscrewing so far into these swings. It's incredible. And the funny thing is, where I'm standing right now, guys, is at the back of the media center here. It's this magnificent, crazy facility that they built, which is literally at the back of the range. I am looking straight down at the boys hitting balls at the range.
Nice.
And it's a pretty good long ways off. I can't remember what the number is. You know, 375. I don't know, maybe 400-ish yards or something. So they're not quite hitting it to us. But there's some balls that get pretty damn close to the media center here, and most of the ones that get closest are the ones from Bryson. I think there's got to be some sort of goal on that driving range to see who's going to be the first to hit the press building. But it is fun. You know, last year, in all seriousness, there was so much attention on Bryson. And I felt like it was almost too much. You know, it was all this stuff. You know, he was experimenting with a 48-inch driver. He was going to see if he might put that into play. He brought all of these things into, and I thought it was too much. I really felt at the beginning of the week in November, when they last played the Masters, that, you know, this was just like too much noise. And at the end of the day, he completely flamed out last year, as you know. I mean, he made a mess of a couple early holes, put himself, you know, and then all of a sudden he was having dizzy spells and,
yes,
you know,
right.
And ended up missing. It was just a very strange week for him, you know, with a short week too, because he didn't make the cut. So I feel like, you know, he's a little bit beyond that now. And I think he learned some things from last year, but Bryson does like the attention. There's no question about it. And, I think he'll have a better week this week. I don't think he's going to win, but I think I don't see him missing the cut this week. I think he'll probably dial it back a little bit. But I tell you one thing. Now, Murph, you remembered the first hole over here, obviously,
yeah,
very well.
Yeah, tough hole. Yeah.
There's a huge, huge line of trees up the right side, right?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and if you're really going to try to bomb a drive for the long players, they have to, because it's a little slightly dog legs to the right a little bit. So you have to kind of cut a drive, otherwise you're going to hit it into the trees between the ninth and the first. He's been taking a line in practice, taking it over those trees on the right-hand side where the press building used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to describe for our listeners because you're not really looking at it. But, I mean, yeah. Trust me, it's crazy.
That's like unprecedented, and nobody's ever done that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So this guy's out of his mind.
He said he's not sure if he's going to put that into play in the tournament. Maybe he just kind of hit the three wood or whatever up to the, you know, to the level with the bunker there on the right, and from there for him it's only a 9-iron in. So to me the risk reward is crazy. You know, there's too much risk for the reward.
For people who don't follow golf and are just hearing this first time, it's like picture Barry Bonds at the peak of his sort of PED early OOs. That's Bryson DeChambeau right now. He's yeah, out of his muscles everywhere, swinging harder than anybody. And
right.
I don't know. Masters comes down to chipping and putting though. So Bryson, Rory, you just see Dustin Johnson, the most talented hands in the world. He's just too chill to defend. Is that the deal? Oh, he's like, yeah, man.
I
got one 6 months ago. Yeah. I don't need another one. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
He is pretty chill. But I mean, his form hasn't been as good as it was last year. But you know, you certainly could make the argument that once you have a Masters in your pocket, there's certainly no pressure to go get the next one. So why not just go get another one? You know, I mean,
kind of like Phil, right?
It should be able to free you up a little bit. You know. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say – I'm not saying he's not going to win. I just don't see – sometimes the obvious is too obvious, right? So
yeah.
I guess it's obvious for a reason. But, you know, you could say the same thing about Spieth, who I do think is going to have a really good week this week because he is playing so well and obviously just won last week. But even before last week in Texas, he was on great form. And Spieth plays well here even when he's not in form, much like Phil. It just, you know, it suits his eye. So – I'd be shocked if he's not in the mix in some manner this week.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth is obviously going to be a huge sentimental favorite. It's been a while since he won it, and now he's coming back, and he won last week, and so he's definitely won. So there's always a guy, you know, listen, the legends win. Jack, Arnie, Tiger, Phil, Seve, they all win there. But we also have had our Charles Schwartzels and Mike Weirs and Trevor Immelman. Yeah. So is there any low-key dude that you kind of have your eye on just for fun, like an Abraham Answer, maybe?
It's so weird you mentioned Answer because he was on the tip of my tongue when you said that. And he's a damn good player, obviously. you know. But we're like, what even about her, like a Cam Smith who last year,
finished
runner-up? Mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, that guy, he's been playing really well, and you know, he bombs the bejesus out of the ball as well. You know, one guy who's, I mean, I wouldn't say he'd be a buzzkill winner because he'd be kind of a fun winner, but, and a guy I think I'm writing about for tomorrow's paper is Lee Westwood has had this renaissance of his career. And he's going to be 48 years old. He's got his son on the bag, and he's totally playing with house money. I mean, he he's just like, look, everything's gravy to him right now. He doesn't really need it. I don't think he really cares about his legacy, but he does, by the way, have the longest streak of majors without a win at 84 right now. And he's got three runners up here. You know, he went toe-to-toe with Bryson in Florida down at Bay Hill and almost won that tournament and was right there at the Players' Championship as well with Justin Thomas. So why not Lee Westwood here this week? I mean, he could certainly do it. Length isn't an issue here.
His name was burning on the Second Captain's podcast between me and Donegan. We were talking about him. So I usually root against Englishmen, but Lee Westwood's an exception. I like that dude. So, hey, here's a guy. We're getting deep into the weeds. You and I could go for hours on this, but we got to get going. I know, but here's a guy. You want to talk about a guy that would not move the needle, but the dude played phenomenal at his last Masters. And I got a three-person pool, and I'm taking him. Sungjae Im, my friend. Watch this dude chip around the greens, right? Watch him chip around the greens.
Don't do that to me.
He's one of the best chippers of the golf ball. He's beautiful. He can do it.
You know what? Let him chip really well at the Greater Greensboro Open and win that. How about that?
Right. I'm just saying, watch out, buddy. You might want to get on the phone. Start finding out his swing coach in Korea at age 8, all right? So
get
him on the phone. All right.
Get me KJ Choi on the phone.
There you go. Or right. Y.E. Yang knocking off Tiger at Hazleton in 2009, buddy. Right?
Exactly.
A little precursor to the Thanksgiving incident there, my friend.
Yeah, so, that would be a very, very difficult column to write on Sunday night. I hate to say it, and it's
well,
not really.
I'm just planting that nice seed. I'm planting that seed on a Wednesday morning, and then I know we got to go. I'm just going to throw you my like rando dude who's going to make noise, Scottie Scheffler. All right.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. You know what? Interesting. My new colleague at the New York Post, Ian O'Connor, who we just hired from ESPN.
Oh, really? Interesting.
He actually just wrote a column in today's New York Post about Scottie Scheffler. Because as it turns out, Scottie Scheffler, who we all look at as a big Texan, right?
Texas boy,
grew up in Texas. By the way, Texas boy is a Jersey boy, my friends.
What?
He's Jersey in the house.
What?
See? Grew up in the shadows of the George Washington Bridge in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey.
I thought he was like Matthew McConaughey, you know?
No, he actually, up until I think he was maybe age 5 or 6, he was a Jersey guy.
It
still counts now.
It counts.
And it particularly counts because Ian, our columnist with me here, went to high school with his dad and played basketball with his dad.
That's pretty classic. Yeah, so his dad's a Jersey guy. That's even better. His dad's walking around in a Dwight Gooden jersey, huh? I like it. Hey, speaking of which, the Giants are going to leave you on this. I know we're super late. The Giants have a new pitcher, rando free agent pitcher, the Giants name named Anthony DeSclafani, hometown Freehold, New Jersey.
True story, Marky.
Now, where does Paulie Mack stand on this? Have you met him yet? Have you talked Bruce? Where is he at on that?
No, we have not met him yet. Have not gone face to face
because of the freaking pandemic. Yeah, dude, we couldn't go to spring training.
I haven't been to the yard in a long time, Mark. But hopefully sometime this season I will.
Paulie gets his second shot April 16th.
Yeah.
He'll be fully vaccinated May 1, and Paulie and I are going to go talk Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dee Sclafani.
Totally.
All right?
Have no choice.
I love that. And now he's my favorite West Coast pitcher now. I'm all over it.
Yep.
All right, buddy. We could do it for hours, man. Well, we had Nance on Monday. We got Cannizzaro on Wednesday. And now you got the piano music in your brain, baby. So May Sungjae Im finish top 5 but not wear the green jacket, my friend. How's that?
Yeah.
Murph, you're like the guy in the baseball press box that's predicting extra innings on deadline, basically, right there with that. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Rory would be unbelievable. So let it be so. Be good, Marky. Enjoy. Say hello to the veranda for me.
Thanks, brother.
Take care, kid.
Good talking to you, boys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Marky Mark Cannizzaro live from Augusta National. Yeah. There you go, Paulie.
Sounds right. Good down there. Yeah, hitting shots. I mean, the whole bit, you know.
I'm getting ready. Okay, I don't know if we have time to hit this Niner sound on the other side. We'll try to squeeze it in, and then the Power Hour comes.
Okay, I know.
Coming your way on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
This is Murph and Mac. Hear it on the TuneIn app through your smartphone. We are KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.